week ago Thursday, I was driving back home, and the route I took was to go up Lake and then to, you know, intend to get on Brown Deer Road and then Main Street. And I stopped at the Sendix right there on the corner of Port, and I guess that's Brown Deer Road. And I made a purchase, and I was due 86 cents change. That's easy, right? Three quarters, a dime, and a penny. And so the transaction was completed, and I was given these coins, and I have to put it in a change jar. I realized that the clerk had given me two quarters, a dime, a penny, and a Susan B. Anthony dollar. And that was part of the problem with the Susan B. Anthony coins. They were so easily mixed up with quarters. And I thought, oh, no. This cashier, her drawer is not going to balance at the end of her shift. She's going to be 75 cents short. And so on Monday of this week, I went to that same Sendix, and I said, may I please speak with the manager? Now, managers don't like that kind of a thing. You know, oh, what's this person going to complain about this time? You know, what did they find in their food? And I explained to him, I handed him a paper dollar bill, and I said, you know, I was here on Thursday, and I was mistakenly given a Susan B. Anthony coin instead of a quarter. I don't want that employee's drawer to be off. I want to give this dollar to you. Just give me a quarter back, and then we're good. And the manager just looked at me. He said, no one's in trouble for a till being off 75 cents. No, here. And I said, no, this is important to me that I make this right. And then he looked at me and he said, you don't have to do that. I think I exceeded his expectations for what a customer's behavior would be. And so we're in this sermon series called Exceeding Expectations. And I got to tell you, exceeding expectations in this sermon series goes well beyond 75 cents. Exceeding Expectations, this short little three-week sermon series that comes to an end today. And so every time we end a sermon series, I try and get us where we've been so that we can finish strong. And so we began, all I tried to convey to everyone in week one was, it is possible to live lives that exceed expectations. In fact, God wants us to live these kinds of lives that exceed expectation. And it is possible because of the power at work in us. With this power, we are able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine. Isn't that good news? To have this promise that we can do more than we can even imagine? And we know that Jesus himself said, I came that they may have life abundantly. And so I said, once we become the actualized person that God wants us to be, that God created us to be, that God needs us to be, our lives can exceed expectation. As Kierkegaard said, with God's help, we can become ourselves, our true selves, our child of God selves. And so last week, since you already knew it was possible, I said, well, how do you do it? How do we do it? And we heard that quote from John Bunyan, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who cannot pay you back. And so we give more than what is expected. We do more than what is expected. We serve in ways that go beyond that which is expected. It's about caring. Caring people exceed expectations in a society that increasingly is looking inward. When we care, we share. When we care, we extend empathy, and we steer clear of apathy. Loving the right things to the right degree in the right way with the right kind of love, and those that do will exceed expectation. There, that's two sermons in 1 minute. But today, we're going to bring it all home by looking at God's majesty. The majesty of our God that exceeds all expectation. Have you ever once just stood in awe of something you've seen in creation? Have you ever just had it almost take your breath away? Maybe you were in such a hurry and all of a sudden you feel yourself wanting to be still and just take it all in. I have shared the story of driving past a mint field at dusk, and there were millions and millions of fireflies just lighting up the sky. To stand at the rim of the Grand Canyon and to look out, to be at the base or the top of a majestic waterfall. One that was awesome to me, we took about 40 teenagers to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota on a week-long mission trip, kind of like our ASP. And One night we had a tour of the Badlands Park, and this terrible storm just came ripping in. And as we were leaving, the storm had come and gone. The sky was just orange, and there was a rainbow. But the rainbow didn't have all the different colors. Because of the way the light was being refracted, it was like a salmon-colored rainbow, something like I had never seen. What brings you awe? Being present at the birth of a child, holding onto it? Marshall was here at the first service, and yesterday we had the service of celebration of life for his mother, a funeral that was supposed to take place on March the 21st, which obviously could not. We had 17 people here, family, that were spread out throughout the sanctuary. We were all wearing our masks, but we had hundreds watching on live stream, able to celebrate a life via our social media. But Marshall picked out a song that he thought his mother would love. Maybe you've heard this song. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. And this incredible gift that exceeds all of our expectations has been given to us so that we may be stewards over it. And I think we as humanity need to repent for the ways in which, and this is a strong word, the ways in which we rape the earth. We have not been faithful stewards of this majestic gift. Sometimes we don't even understand this majestic gift because storms come up, hailstones come down, tornadoes come, flash floods hit, tsunamis wipe away entire coastal towns, famine, disease. Sometimes we question if God even comes close to not exceeding expectations, but to meeting them. Some things happen that maybe even make us question who God is. There is a fantastic story, a story you've all heard in the Old Testament, a story of a man named Job who seemingly had everything, seemingly had the favor of God just anointing him with every step, and suddenly he loses it all. It is all taken away from him, and his friends come, and they are absolutely no help whatsoever. And this entire book builds towards the end when Job is questioning God. And so this is God's response from the 38th chapter. From out of a storm, other translations say from the whirlwind, from these dark, cold, dangerous places, which represent a life very much in flux. From out of a storm, the Lord said to Job, why do you talk so much when you know so little? Now get ready to face me. Can you answer the question I ask? How did I lay the foundation for the earth? Were you there? Doubtless you know who decided its length and its width. What supports the foundation? Who placed the cornerstone where morning stars sang and angels rejoiced? Can you order the clouds to send a downpour? Or will lightning flash at your command? Did you teach birds to know that rain or floods are on their way? Can you count the clouds or pour out their water on the dry, lumpy soil? When lions are hungry, do you help them hunt? Do you send an animal to their den? And when starving young ravens cry out to me for food, do you satisfy their hunger? The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And this passage, this chapter taken by itself, may be heard as a rich and powerful statement about God, about the created order and human existence itself. It may be heard as an affirmation and praise of God's creation, and rightfully so. But within the context of everything Job had been through, the poetic heart of the book of Job seems to focus on a question: why do the righteous suffer? And certainly Job knew a lot about suffering. And friends, God still speaks to us from the whirlwinds of our lives, when the storms blow. And so the question, as we try and bring all this together, is, does God meet our expectation? Job was questioning it. Do we even have the right to question it? We have so many questions, especially in this time, as it gets longer and longer and longer, and seemingly getting worse and worse and worse, this pandemic season. Why would God allow it? Not only that, but why such angst and hatred and just truly sinful behavior going on in the midst of it? Why is there so much loss? People have lost their jobs. People are going to be losing their homes. People are crying out because they believe they have lost their freedoms. Not to mention the lives that have been lost. One of the great things about this story of Job to me is he had lost so much. His situation was so bleak. Not only had he lost everything financially and racially, relationally, his body was infested and was festering. And yet, he stayed connected. He stayed in dialogue with God. And so I want to share with you just three encounters I have had with three different individuals since this pandemic hit. People that are experiencing things that would force most people away from God, and yet something deeper, something that really exceeds expectation, is happening in their lives. Not a single one of these is made up. The first was a young man, mountain of a man, big guy, who needed to see me. He was at work, and while he was at work, and he was sitting as close as you two are to one another, he was standing and working when a panel fell from the sky and crushed his friend and his coworker a foot away from him. It easily could have been him. He needed to talk to me. And he had all the normal kinds of questions. Well, why him? Why not me? It makes no sense. His employers brought in counselors to try and help people with this traumatic situation. And he was drawn to something that had a connection to God. And he and I talked, and I did encourage him to see those counselors. And then this was just before St. Patrick's Day. This was the least social distancing I have done throughout all of this. This mountain of man just grabbed me and cried like a baby all over my shoulder. He needed to run to his faith instead of away from it. The second encounter came from a person that I had really not had any contact with for 10 years. This text from nowhere showed up on my phone. I didn't know if it was a scam or what it was, but it was from a young person who had grown up in the church that I was serving. I knew her when she was a little girl, walked her through confirmation, walked her through high school. She went on these mission trips with us. And you know the telephone call is never going to be good when the very first words that the person speaks is, "Don't worry, I have reported this." One who was thought to be a friend violated and abused this individual. A friend. Something so violent and ugly. And I just listened, and she said, I've been reading this book that you gave to all the seniors when they graduated, a book called God's Promises for the Graduate. And she explained how she was trying to run to God instead of away from God in this time. The final powerful encounter happened just this week, and I can use the name, because this has been on our prayer chain for the past week. Many of you know Jack Weiland. Matter of fact, our offering box that we're going to be placing our contact cards and our offerings and our pens in, there's a plaque there. Jack made that box for this community of faith. As many of you have heard, his youngest grandson, only 20 years old, at the University of Nebraska last week, just dropped dead. They found him in his room. There was no funny business. Sometimes people just die. For anyone here who has lost a child or a grandchild, or even a sibling, or that one person that is so special, you know, you're never ever going to be the same. But when I was talking with Jack, I should probably say I was listening to Jack. And here's what Jack said to me. He said, "I need to run toward a deeper faith and a greater trust in God right now than ever." And in the midst of all this pain, he started talking about the gratitude that he had for his friends from within this congregation, his spiritual friends from within the community who are making sure that he is not alone, making sure that he knows he is loved. He's now in a facility, and the staff knows what has happened, and the staff is there to minister to him. And we talked about one of the incredible ways that God exceeds our expectations. One of the ways that God ministers to us is through people, family, friends, and stranger. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, it is possible to experience real loss that we can't even imagine, but still acknowledge that our God exceeds our expectations. We just heard that rendition of "It Is Well With My Soul," and many of us know the story of Horatio Stafford, that line, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." We know he was a very wealthy lawyer in Chicago when tragedy struck him, lost a child. The Chicago fires took away everything that he had, and so he sent his wife and daughters across the sea to Europe just to get away from all of that trouble. And there was an accident, and he got this cable back, survived alone. He had lost everything he owned, and he had lost all of his children. And he was sailing over the ocean when God just gave him that hug. When sorrows like sea billows roll, he still had the faith to say, "It is well with my soul." But I heard a new story this week about a song that we sing every Christmas time. I mean, every single year I've been here, and people ask for it, not just in worship, but at the UMW Christmas event. At WOW, I have sung this song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. But that was a poem that was written more than 100 years ago by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Does anyone know his story? He lost an infant, and then his wife, her clothing caught on fire, and as he was trying to save her, as badly burned as she was, he sustained burns that were so severe that he was scarred for the rest of his life. He was unable to go to the funeral for his wife and had to wear a burn just so that people wouldn't shiver when they saw him on the street. His son went away and signed up for this conflict called the Civil War, and his son was killed. He had lost children. He had lost the love of his life. He was now a widow about my age with daughters. And as he was out one night, he heard the bells from the church, and he heard the congregation singing, "Peace on Earth." In the midst of all that loss, in the midst of all of that, every story I've just told you, I stand in awe of the fact that these people had the strength that they were able to run to faith instead of running away from God forever. And I have to ask, why? Why are they able to do that? Why is any person, man or woman, young or old, of faith, able to do that in the midst of such horrific things that are happening? Maybe it's because they know God's promises. God's promises that says in Scripture that God draws near to the crushed in spirit. God's promises that there is this offer of peace that goes far past anything that we can truly understand. That we have this promise that there is hope for the hopeless, and that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see, have not yet seen. We stand in awe of the majesty of this creation, but we realize that with it comes some hardships, comes some tragedy. God's conversation with Job doesn't neglect that, doesn't try and slip it under the rug. Instead, Job is really left with two very real questions that called for Job's response, and it calls for your response and my response each and every day. Do you know who you are? And do you know who God is? Having both struggled with God and with humanity, Job can face God as a different and full human being, and so can we. Majesty of God exceeds our expectations. But friends, what is far more majestic than the most beautiful piece of creation, the greatest majesty of our God who exceeds our expectations, is this gift of grace. A grace that so exceeds our expectations, there are times it actually offends us because we want to deem somebody else unworthy of that free gift. Free gift. Paul says to the church in Rome, while we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone might dare die, will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why does God exceed our expectations? Because that's who God is. Why? Because that's who God is. But friends, the grace is not the why, it is the how God exceeds our expectations. I mentioned earlier that hymn that Marshall's family sang at the funeral, "How Great Thou Art," as muffled as it was behind the masks. The first two stanzas are all about the beauty of creation, the majestic nature of the earth, but the last two stanzas are different. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And I don't want to just read this refrain to you. Should we just kind of sing this refrain? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And so, brothers and sisters, we should all truly stand in awe of God's majesty, the majestic creation and the magnificent grace of God through Jesus Christ that far exceeds all of our expectations. Amen.